Well, good morning. It's the Reverend Steve Morris here. Thank you so much for joining me for this Sunday service on the 7th of March. Goodness me, time is absolutely flying, isn't it? But we continue our journey through Lent, and it's great to have your company. I really hope that in this coming service, you just get a great sense of the God who loves you, the God who made the universe and everything in it. So, welcome. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Let us confess our sins, remembering before God the times we have fallen short and fallen from temptation into sin. I invite you now just to bring to God anything at all you'd like to say sorry for. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, our reading today is from the Gospel of John, and I think it's a really, really interesting reading. I love the Gospel of John because John kind of has got this wonderful poetic business about him. He writes, unlike Mark, who's a journalist, John is a poet, and I think I really, really love that. So it's John 2, beginning at verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at table exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area. Both sheep and cattle he scattered, the coins of the money changers, and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." I think I grew up with a kind of woolly, very woolly idea of Jesus. I mean, I didn't ever really read the Bible. I went occasionally to Sunday school, and I think the image I had was this gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You know, the picture you sometimes see of Jesus in children's books or in churches, of him soft focus, maybe carrying a sheep or something, or a lamb, you know, that kind of thing. But that really isn't the reality when we read the Gospels. I mean, he's you know, obviously, We hear how full of grace and kindness he is. You know, he wouldn't break a little thin reed, we're told. But when he needs to, my goodness, you see a kind of righteous and holy anger. Usually that comes as a result of injustice and his boiling point. You know, he just goes. He just cannot stand to see people being ripped off or exploited. And I think we need to hang on to that. You know, that's part of the business of Christianity. It's a righteous anger against injustice and unfairness and exploitation. That is at the core of the faith. And we need to know that our leader, our captain, this is how he reacted to it. I like the little bit at the beginning, though. You get a sense of the domestic business of Jesus. He's gone down to Capernaum with his mum and his brothers and his disciples. And there they stayed. You know, you just imagine he was just completely normal, would stay there, they'd eat, they'd talk, they'd walk. And I love that picture of Jesus in all his normality. I think it's very, very, very helpful. Anyway, after that, he goes up to the temple courts and he finds people selling various things. The thing was, these were kind of atonement sack offerings. You know, the way you atoned for your sins was to make a sacrificial offering, and as you weren't going to offer yourself to be sacrificed, you gave an animal, and you had to buy the animal because only these would count. And also, you could make a payment, but the trouble is often when the changing of, if you didn't have the right currency, because people were coming from all over the area, you'd be ripped off, you know, in the currency conversion. The people who most suffered were the poor, the people who had nothing, could only maybe afford one dove. You know, they were the money was just really, really difficult for them. And Jesus just won't have it. And I kind of love the way that what he does. He goes in there like a crazy fella, you know, kind of turning over the tables and doing all kinds of things like that. And I think that's just one of the pictures we need to keep in mind of Jesus. And I see it really very much like this. You know, he's doing it to protect people. And sometimes we need someone to protect us. I've needed people in my life to protect me. And I don't want them going, oh yeah, that's sad. I want them to go out and do something. And that's what Jesus does here. I absolutely love the picture of Jesus as a fighter after justice. And it's something that I hold very precious in my own faith. Jesus then really provokes people by saying that he could not have the temple rebuilt in just 3 days. They'd spent years, was it 60 years, building this temple, and it's an extraordinary construction. I think that must have really, really got on people's nerves, the Pharisees and those in charge of the religious authorities. But I want to leave you with this, really, just to have that picture in mind that, you know, we are to be kind to each other, but when things are wrong, we're not to stay silent, we are to speak out. There's a lot of debate at the moment about whether the church should have any impact on politics. I think the church should speak out. And the challenge isn't in the speaking out, it's in winning people's trust enough for them to listen to us. Because we are a voice that can add something, and we can do things, but we need to win that trust. Amen. So, thank you so much for listening to my sermon. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be here today, that we can worship you, that we can do so freely. Father, we pray that for all people of faith and no faith around the world, that there is freedom of worship and expression. We ask you to help us to be fighters against oppression, against exploitation. We pray for our government and the leaders of our church. And we thank you so much that we can be together today. In this Lenten period, we ask you to help us to convict us in our hearts for when we have been unfair or encouraged any exploitation of others, for us to kind of clean our own house and make sure we have a fresh start in that way. I encourage you now to bring to God anyone who you're worried about. Just bring their name to him. Commend them into his care. Father, we gather up these prayers together and we present them to you. We thank you for all that you are, and we ask you to be with us in the days and weeks ahead. Amen. I don't know if you're listening to this with someone else, so why not? You can share the peace. Why not, when we get there, you know, you can shake a hand or share the peace. And if not, it's fine just to text someone and wish them a happy time and wish them all peace in their lives. So when Jesus came, he brought us his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Friends, thank you. Thank you. And so we now move on to the Eucharistic prayer. I invite you to join in, to listen. And the words are also on the website. So if you wanted to download and to look at the words as we go through, that would be lovely. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ your Son. For in these 40 days you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline, we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy, and join with the saints and angels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and we bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his commandments, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so, friends, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. I now take the communion. So, friends, it's an honour to take the communion and to know that we're invited to the top table to dine with Lord as part of his family, and to remember, of course, the great sacrifice he made for all of us that we might be free. I do hope that you've enjoyed the service, that you've been able to connect with God during it, and you're very, very welcome. We love having you with us, and you're always welcome to come along. And I'm going to finish now the service with a blessing. May Christ give you the grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. We leave with a commission. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Bye-bye, and we look forward to seeing you soon.